Hi, I'm Ali Hassan, host of CBC's Laugh Out Loud. Do you like to laugh? Because we're serving up big laughs each week. We feature comedians from across Canada. You might already be fans of some of them, and others might be new discoveries. We record emerging comedians and established pros in front of live audiences all across the country, and we promise that you'll be literally laughing out loud. You can find Laugh Out Loud on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
I think it's easy to forget that WWE is one of the biggest entertainment companies on the planet. They have created giant stars like The Rock and John Cena. And then there's the spectacle of WrestleMania. Today on the podcast, WrestleMania 40 just happened, and it was a turning point for WWE. I'm Alamin Abdul-Mahmoud. This is Commotion. Look, I promise you, Commotion is not turning into a wrestling podcast. I know the last week we talked about the incredible Robert Lepage wrestling exhibit in Quebec, and here we are again. We're back in the ring, but come on. It's WrestleMania 40, and you know that all eyes were on this.
Cody, The Rock doesn't want to talk to you right now, but The Rock wants to talk to one person, and that's your mama. Cody, Seth, The Rock and Roman Reigns will end your story tragically. If you smell what the bloodline is cooking.
That was The Rock, a.k.a. The Great One, a.k.a. the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. Why should you care? Well, I'm here to tell you why you should care. For decades, WrestleMania has been the marquee event in the WWE calendar. And this year's WrestleMania is a particularly big deal because this is a precarious time for the WWE. I think it's sometimes easy to forget how giant of an entertainment company WWE is. And this company is trying to transition to a new home on Netflix next year. They're under new ownership after merging with UFC to create this new company called TKO. It's also the first WrestleMania after the WWE's former CEO, Vince McMahon, was accused of sexual assault. There's a lot going on in this particular WrestleMania. There's a lot to unpack. And joining me now with their thoughts on all of this, we've got Damian Abraham here and making their Commotion debut, Pablo the Don. Pablo, Damian, welcome to Commotion, y'all. How's it going?
Hey.
Too sweet me.
I'm excited to do this. Let's get it. Let's do this. Okay, Pablo, I'm going to start with you because you were actually at WrestleMania this weekend. Tell me about the energy. What was the energy like?
Man, it was incredible. Philly's a great place. Being in the Link was amazing. It is just it's like seeing a bunch of yourselves everywhere. Like, it's just a bunch of people who love this thing coming together. It's like, oh my God, I met all my internet friends for the first time. It is the coolest, like, most unique experience you could ever have. And it's unlike any other sporting event. I've been to anything you can think of, Super Bowl, NBA Finals, all of that. WrestleMania, like, just craps on all of them. Hey, craps on all of them.
You've been to Super Bowl and you're here to report. Be like, WrestleMania, like the Super Bowl, but way better. That's what you're about
Bold
to tell me.
Bold take,
right now.
But way better. It's a week of just action and fun. Yeah. You've got all the other different promotions coming into town and you get to go see indie shows. Some of your favorite wrestlers that maybe aren't in WWE anymore are on the indie circuit. You go see them. Surprises. It's incredible. It's just like a week of just wrestling and a bunch of fans getting together and coming off the internet for once to be outside.
Damian, I'm going to come to you in a moment, but Pablo, did you meet any faves as you were going through this whole week experience?
It brings out all the stars, which is the crazy part. So yeah, I met all of my faves pretty much. I mean, like, you're just chilling downstairs at like the hotel bar and you see CM Punk walking by, or you get to see like Roxanne Perez and Booker T and all this stuff. And you try to keep your cool. Sometimes it's real hard. Like, I got to admit, when I saw Punk, I was like, I really want to say your arms are too short to box with God, because that's like one of his best promos. But like, and he cut it on The Rock. But you meet everybody, you know, you get to see everyone. It's really fun and it's really cool.
I would not be able to handle it if Booker T walked into the hotel bar that I'm at. I would be losing my mind. So kudos to you for keeping it together, honestly. Damian, the main headline leading up to WrestleMania 40 was that this is the return of The Rock, a.k.a. the return of Dwayne Johnson. How big of a deal is it to have The Rock back at this particular WrestleMania, do you think?
Oh, it's absolutely huge. You know, with all what you mentioned before, the TKO merger, the Vince McMahon sexual harassment lawsuit, obviously being the most salient of all of them.
Yes.
There's a lot riding on this one. There were some real stakes to this one, and The Rock is the biggest card they could play. They threw everything. The Undertaker came back. John Cena came back.
The Undertaker came back. I was okay. Continue. Sorry. Yes.
No. Paul Levesque wanted to cement his era. Like, right. This is the Paul Levesque era now. This is the TKO era, and they hope that we are not talking about all the stuff that came before it right now.
Right. So here's the thing. I watch WrestleMania the way that I always do, which is to say I was scrolling through my Twitter feed and watching the reactions there, which you get the things that are happening, but also with a bit of interpretation and also a bit of like sauce. And what I liked about it is that, Damien, it seemed like everyone was kind of like losing their minds when The Undertaker came back. Like, this was like a significant moment because like The Undertaker has like this long relationship with WrestleMania. Yep. When you think about this idea of them throwing everything at this WrestleMania, Damien, Was that your read here when you sort of like read the situation? Like, they're bringing out every single possible star to say, look at what this company built.
It was a really interesting actual build up to WrestleMania in the final week, because it did feel like this was them throwing everything they could at it. But there was also some other weird things that happened. The Rock did that interview on Fox News.
Yeah.
Where he gave that sort of, dog whistle endorsement to Trump, saying they would never vote for Biden again. It was a huge mistake last time he voted for Biden.
He said he wouldn't endorse Biden in that interview.
He wouldn't endorse Biden again?
Yeah,
was that it?
He said he's not going to endorse Biden again this time around. Yeah.
Which I thought was a very weird thing to kind of see in the buildup to this. CM Punk was taking a lot of not so veiled shots at AEW, their main competitor. So it did feel like they were going to be in the headlines no matter what, but it wasn't necessarily for all what I would describe as positive things.
Sure.
Certainly the reaction from the fan base wasn't necessarily positive, but what it was doing once again is getting that conversation, not on Vince McMahon, not on this sort of continuing battle back and forth between the lawyers right now on both sides of this thing, as a lot of heinous things are coming out about Vince McMahon.
As Damien, as you were talking, Pablo is sitting there nodding, being like, yes, absolutely, yes. Let's talk about the lead up to this WrestleMania, how WWE is maybe trying to turn the page on its own story.
I mean, other than CM Punk and The Rock going on these two, first of all, MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani is supposed to be strictly MMA, and it was not. Like, wrestlers took over this last week. But also, Triple H is on Complex doing sneaker shopping and talking about how wrestlers should have sneaker deals, which I agree with.
Like, Triple H, one of the biggest stars of, it's like, you know, of the Attitude Era of the last 30 years, but also the idea that they
now
would,
he's Paul Levesque. Yes. Now he's the COO, creative officer. Like, yes. He's COO, but he's going on sneaker shopping, buying Travis Scott Blackout Ones and like just like being like wrestlers need sneaker deals, and it's just like, okay, so they were really throwing everything, they're putting everything out there. Also, another big thing was the amount of advertisements in the building this weekend. I mean, prime smack dab in the middle of the ring, never would have happened with Vince McMahon. Dude Wipes, Wingstop, all these different movies and TV shows.
It was
very like palpable that you were walking into that fighting link in a different era of wrestling. It was different.
Like, they're trying to sort of say, we are not the company that you were even thinking of us maybe even a year ago. I want to come back to this in just a moment, because I actually want to talk about some of the details of how they got there and in terms of these past couple of weeks. So WrestleMania 40 was also like, in the lead up to it, was like this big heel turn from The Rock, which is basically what happens when you take a guy who everyone knows is like, this is a good guy, we all love this guy, and you turn him bad. And you have to land that convincingly in order for people to go, yes, I believe that I should be rooting against one of the most popular movie stars on the planet. So how believable was The Rock's turn as a villain to you, Pablo?
I mean, for me, it was absolutely believable. I don't think people think about the things that he's been going through in the public so long, which also goes into that Fox and Friends interview. Black Adam was a failure, okay?
Black Adam was a massive flop as a movie.
And he forced his way into it. The things that happened in Hawaii with him asking people for money, as he is the highest paid actor in the entire world, people were not receptive of that. I fully believe he came back with the intentions to be a good guy, to rehab his image, but there was just a better good guy there, and his name was Cody Rhodes. So the only thing you could do is make him Hollywood Rock again, which is so many people's childhood, that 03 era when he first goes off to do The Scorpion King.
I remember that. Yes. Yeah.
And so he comes back, he's singing, he's doing sing-along, he's got the cutoff Versace shirts and all that stuff. Like, It was the only way to play this, and I think it was so convincing, and I think it gives a new fold, a new character to who Dwayne even is, because him just coming back as the good guy constantly was more in line with his image as the Terramana CEO or Zoa, but him coming back and being this bad guy while also doing Papa Tui and all this other stuff, it gives him a new wrinkle, which we haven't seen a new wrinkle of Dwayne since Ballers, pretty much. So, like, people are seeing he's a bad guy on the show. He also may not be the best guy in real life, too, but he's putting these worlds together and blurring the line. He's blurring the lines.
And last time he came back, he was booed when he was in the ring with Roman, right? Like, the wrestling fans are really ready to boo The Rock, and The Rock is amazing at playing them like a fiddle and getting fans to boo when he wants them to boo. And I'm sure tomorrow he could get everyone to cheer if he wants. Or tonight, I should say. I'm wrong.
Absolutely.
Well, actually, like, okay, so with this in mind, I want to play a clip. This is from Saturday's main event. You know, Roman and The Rock against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, and here's how that ended.
The Rock with a rock bottom to Cody Rhodes. People's elbow cover by The Rock. Cody is screwed.
Damien, that's The Rock putting an end to Cody Rhodes there. The Bloodline with the win for Saturday's main event. How did you feel about The Rock's overall storyline leading up to WrestleMania 40? The idea that he's back, but also he's playing this note of, I'm too big for y'all. You know, I don't belong here. I'm certainly better than this wrestling thing, and I can defeat everybody. Like, this is a story that he's trying to sell.
Well, I think Pablo put it perfectly before. Like, this was The Rock coming back, probably expecting to be, once again, a baby face, and not realizing that
baby face is the wrestling term for good guy you want to cheer for,
the hero, the hero in the situation. And very quickly it became clear that the audience wants this Cody Rhodes story to finish. And I don't think it was the whole audience. I think it was mainly the very vocal internet driven side of the fan base. Sure. Begrudgingly referred to as smart mark side of the audience. who are the
you
fan
want to explain
base
what
that,
smart marks are, because I think that's,
sure,
that's
absolutely
a useful thing for people to know.
Smart a mark is a terrible term for wrestling fans that dates back to the carnivals of sort of the 19th century, and they would put a white chalk mark on the fools as they walked in to the gate.
They literally marked them. Yes.
The marks, the ones that were easy to kind of, you know, talk out of their money. Yeah. And because wrestling started on the carnival circuit as a way of taking money out of marks, that sort of terminology sticks to this day. And smart mark refers to a fan that acknowledges that, yes, we are marks, but at the same time, we are also hip to what's going on behind the scenes, or at least interested in what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
And I feel that fan base reacted very negatively to The Rock coming back, and sort of this thing we've seen happen time and time again in WWE, where very much like Lucy with Charlie Brown, as the fans run for the football, Vince McMahon would snatch it away from them. Yeah. And this was, I think this is interesting because we're seeing, WWE enter the fan service era.
Interesting.
We are going to start seeing a lot more storylines that play out the way the fans want them to.
You definitely saw it last night.
Do you want to pick up on that, Pablo?
Yeah,
how do you feel about this fan service idea?
I mean, I think it's great in some sense, but I think what people need to realize about wrestling is, like, the money is in the chase for WWE. The money is making Cody chase this. Not only is the money there, but the story's there. His dad did this with Ric Flair in the 70s. Like, it's the same story over and over again. Just new characters, new wrinkles. You add a new villain, things like that. But even I'm watching the show last night, everyone that I feel like the dominant WWE audience wanted to win won, whether it's Bayley, Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest cashing in Money in the Bank that everyone's been wanting him to win. Like, the only person that came out in the L, and I think the internet might have wanted him not to, was Seth Rollins. He's the only one that just straight up just lost.
So you're describing a dynamic where WWE will sort of deny you the good guy winning for so long, deny it, and then you get this opportunity where, like, it's sort of the fan service is in, like, you deliver all the things that the fans wanted. This is sort of the WrestleMania 40 narrative that is kind of coming out
right
now.
The biggest thing is Paul Heyman said it best. You do the moment when it's the biggest payoff, the biggest amount of money you could possibly make. And yeah. Cody winning this year at 40, at like an even number, a big marker with the big XL in the middle, is the biggest payoff you can have. Adding The Rock to the wrinkle and having him overcome this incredible bloodline when his theme song literally says there's more than one royal family in wrestling. Like, that's right. His theme song entrance.
Yeah.
I'm getting chills. Can you get bigger than that? Can you do it better than that, where you beat this lineage of Samoans, which everyone knows wrestling and Samoans are like ketchup and french fries. Like, it just goes together, right? Like, can you beat that moment of Cody Rhodes coming in his daddy's honor and beating someone who has historically been humiliated by WWE, polka dots, and I'm just a working man, and finishing his story like this and beating the most dominant family in wrestling? Like, you can't beat it.
So I want to talk a little bit about The Rock, because there's something about the fact that this is his first return. It's one thing to sort of be back in the ring and do the trash talk thing, and everybody loves that. But he's back in the ring for the first time in 8 years. This is the dude who's going to be 52 next month. Maybe, Damien, I'll go to you on this. How did he look? How did he look in the ring?
Oh, it looked amazing. Like, he can still go. Like, it was a tag team match, so he was protected to a certain extent. But at the same time, like, he's amazing. But that's the thing about wrestling. Wrestling, if you look at wrestling all over the world, there are wrestlers that are able to wrestle well past any other sports would allow them to, because there's smoke and mirrors involved. There's stuff that can be done. And that's not to diminish what The Rock did in the ring, because Rock looked amazing. And The Rock is, you know, he's getting about, 4 a.m. to work out every day. Like, this guy's constantly ring ready.
Yes.
Yeah, he looked great. He really did. I didn't expect him to look as good. I think coming off of the last time he wrestled, where he tore his entire like abductor muscle.
Yeah.
I was worried. I was concerned. You are 52. Yes. Also, he's jacked to the gods, but I noticed he dropped some muscle mass just to get back in the ring and be in ring shape. So I'm like very excited that this was good.
Eagle Eye Pablo over here. Pablo's like, I know.
Listen,
I can see where the muscle mass is at right now.
Listen. I'm a huge Rock fan over here.
Holding up a little figurine of The Rock. I love to see it.
I love my guy, but yes. He looked great. I'm very happy with how he looked.
Okay, hold that thought. Commotion is going to be back in just a moment.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now, what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Look, if folks are just joining us, my name is Alamin Abdul-Mahmoud, and this show is called Commotion. Pablo the Don is here. Damien Abraham is here. And we are talking about WrestleMania 40, but really we're talking about WWE at this point in its history. So this is the thing that we talked about earlier in the show, Damien, is this idea of here we are, and the WWE is trying to change the channel on the Vince McMahon sexual assault allegations, trying to change the channel on basically how that story has kind of been clouded them for the past couple of years or so, because he is a CEO. He's been one of the biggest faces of the company. And we get to this moment. Do you think WrestleMania 40 did that? Like, when you sort of see the lead up to this, because we're not talking about Vince McMahon this morning. We are talking about many other things. We're talking about WWE in a new era, right? We're talking about this anticipated Netflix deal that is going to start in 2025. Raw is going to be coming every Monday to Netflix broadcast live. It does seem like they've put out enough, just enough distractions, like enough different items to talk about, that Vince McMahon has really kind of fallen by the wayside. Is that your read too, Damien?
For now. I think this is, there's no analog for this. Like, this isn't Harvey Weinstein or Marilyn Manson. This is like the whole industry, is Vince McMahon and the WWE for a period of time since he kind of wiped out all the other wrestling companies during the territory era or after the territory era.
Yeah.
This has been what pro wrestling is for a lot of us. And I think wrestling and wrestling fans are forced to kind of look back at a lot of things we saw play out on TV each and every week and realize maybe potentially we were seeing abuse play out on TV. And a lot of our favorite memories are tied in with this now and need to be kind of unpacked.
Can you think of an example of that?
Man, that's what we're talking about.
I know that people talk a lot about, but just wondering if something comes to mind.
Trish Stratus barking as a dog, I think is one of the most obvious ones.
The entire Kiss by A Club, the entire club.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is very weird to watch now in the light of the allegations in this lawsuit and to know that we're laughing at it. I mean, wrestling fans were told to laugh at this and this was a joke, but this was also someone being humiliated on TV. And like Pablo said, there's the sexual component of this thing, but there's also sort of this power humiliation side of things where you have people like Dusty Rhodes brought in and forced to wear polka dots on TV and kind of be humiliated for seemingly no one's joy but his own.
Yeah.
And it's,
I just want to clarify two things that you just mentioned. Trish Stratus, one of the most famous women wrestlers of all time, Canadian legend, but also that storyline that Ms. McMahon had where she did have to bark like a dog on television. It like looks deeply uncomfortable when you sort of rewatch it now because it was like, 20 years ago? Like a little more than 20 years ago?
Yeah,
Kiss My A Club is like literally a bunch of people had to literally kiss his bare butt on television. It's fair to look back at that now, Pablo, and go, what were we thinking? But after this WrestleMania, like that's a little bit lower down the list of things that people are talking about. And WWE seems to be making the argument, hey, you should talk about, you know, The Undertaker being back or John Cena being back or all this excitement around these people and not talk about this history and mine it and sort of actually have to reckon with it.
Right. I think the biggest tell sign for me is going to be what happens tonight on Raw. Because the Monday after Raw, the Raw after WrestleMania is usually like their biggest show. Everyone's still in the same city as Mania watching Raw. And that's usually where you get a bunch of surprise returns. And it's historically been horrible the last few years because Vince was so mad that Triple H booked such a great WrestleMania that he would purposely come in and ruin Raw. Hmm. So tonight, for a lot of fans, tonight is the night.
This very night.
Is Paul Levesque really stepping into his era? I think the answer is yes. There's so many things circulating. But I think if they have a great tonight, that lends to the credibility of them stepping into this Netflix deal, doing things with the UFC, things like that. Like they are moving in the right direction. But tonight, I think, determines. Mm-hmm. Are we for real or are y'all just playing again? Are y'all doing a Daniel Bryan moment or what?
Go ahead, David.
That was another thing that I found fascinating about these Raws after Mania. Like you brought that Daniel Bryan moment. Daniel Bryan was famously defeated in 14 seconds on WrestleMania by Sheamus. And then the next night, wrestling fans took over Raw and on live TV booed all the people they were not supposed to boo and cheered for all the people they were not supposed to cheer for and chanted Bryan Danielson's name and chants all night and really kind of turned the show. It was a very interesting moment in TV, but like Pablo was saying, there's a lot of rumors circulating tonight where I think the audience is going to be cheering for joy instead of negative reasons tonight.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm interested in that because maybe we'll close on this, but to you first, Pablo, and then Damian, there is no other sport or form of entertainment where fans can do that, right? Like if you are mad about how, you know, Kendall was treated on Succession, there is no avenue for you to boo so hard the next day that it could, you know, the writers go, we got to turn this around in order to get the fans back on side. You get a chance to engage with the storylines, not just the wrestling, but the storylines themselves in ways that don't really happen in other forms of entertainment. What do you make of this moment in fan power in wrestling?
I think, again, like Damian said, we're going into the service industry. Like they're realizing, especially now with social media, I would even say wrestling was different without social media. In the era of social media where everyone can get online, give their opinions, delve them out, be like, this is great booking, this is horrible booking, more people are smart to the business. They almost are in a position where, yes, you might be a build on corporation, but you're still at the behest of your fans. And there's competition. So you must, you must in a way, even if it's not a direct instant gratification, in the end, I think fans are now more comfortable knowing eventually we'll get what we want as long as we stay consistent with who we're supporting, what we're trying to get to, things like that. I think Paul, I think Paul Heyman, which is a big thing. Both the Pauls, Paul Levesque, Paul Heyman,
yeah.
Bruce Pritchard are still there. They're very big and very instrumental in listening to the fans. Maybe, again, not instant gratification,
yeah.
but giving us what we want in the end, because they know for them it drives up profit. And I think that's the biggest thing we've seen with WWE. They are big in telling us, like, we're here to make the most money we can, so we will listen to you this time.
Damian, last word to you, 30 seconds.
Oh, I was just going to say, but there's, like you're saying, there's no other thing in the world that has this relationship between entertainer and fan in the same way that the fans are being manipulated constantly. And like Pablo's saying, at the same time, they're giving us what they want. They're also choosing to give us what they want to give us at the right time. And you can kind of make the audience go where you want them to go with wrestling.
I mean, is that frustrating or is that kind of gratifying? Or is that actually the sell? Is that why you're in it?
That's the beauty in wrestling. Yeah, it's the one thing I will allow to manipulate me day in and day out. I will be there every time because in the end, I might get what I want. It might be Cody Rhodes holding up that title. It might be Stone Cold Steve Austin coming in and stunning Kevin Owens. I will get what I want at some point. So go ahead and do what you do.
Pablo, Damian, that is a perfect place to leave it. Thank you for your time and for your energy. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
My
pleasure. Damian Abraham is the lead singer of the band Effed Up and a longtime wrestling fan. I say Effed Up because I can't say his name on the radio. He was in Toronto. And Pablo the Don is a culture critic and part of Those Wrestling Girls podcast. They were in Springfield, Massachusetts. They were speaking about WrestleMania 40 and the state of the WWE franchise. Listen, that is it for the podcast today, which means I'm going to leave the studio, and I'm going to go find my solar eclipse glasses, and I'm going to look up directly at the sun, and I hope that you have a great eclipse day, and we'll see you tomorrow. My name is Al-Amin Abdul Mahmoud. This is Commotion. Talk to you then.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.